In your story, what happened with the man? My lover asked, when, for a while, the three of us paused in our discussion of the Messenger Project. She went to fetch him and introduced him to the Queen. I owe him my life, she said. Without him, I would not be here. The Queen looked at him, not liking too much what she saw, but withholding her judgment. I am in your debt, she said. Tell me if there is anything you want that is in my power to give you. His reply came slowly. I have set out to find Jules, or death, he finally said, almost as if talking to himself. I will not give you death, the Queen said. She placed a wooden bowl, the size of a soup bowl, on the low table in front of him. Then she removed a stone from the wall behind her, took out a leather pouch from the opening it revealed, and emptied its contents into the bowl. Take what you can carry in one hand, she said. He had large hands. He looked at the jewels, hesitantly, but the Queen made no objections. He took some of the stones into his hand, rolled them around, put them back, took others. He was not an expert, but he didn't have to be. There was no way he could go wrong. Some of the jewels were among the best and most precious that anyone had ever seen. Others, there were no words for them. There was no comparison. There were no names for the brightness and colors in which they shone. What are they? He asked. Stardock jewels. It wasn't the Queen who spoke, but the woman who had brought him here, whom long ago he had heard singing in the moonlit wood. But, I thought, hadn't you told me that was a fairy tale? And do not most fairy tales have some truths in them? He sat with his mouth open and with his hand filled with more riches than he had ever dreamed of. He not only saw the incomparable sparkling of the stones with his eyes, he felt it in his hands. He felt it, even with eyes closed, all over his body. He savored the moment. Stardock jewels. His eyes turned moist. Among the other jewels, he had noticed that there also were some of glass, well made, but next to the genuine stones, easily spotted and almost worthless. Small change, which, he understood, had its practical purposes. He looked at the Stardock jewels that filled his hand, a long, longing and thoughtful look. Then he put them back into the bowl. Picking up one of the glass stones, he said, My queen, may I keep this for memory? With this memory, where do you want to go now? She asked. I have nowhere to go, he replied, not complaining, a simple statement of fact. Come with us, then, the queen said, if you wish to. There is work to do, a queendom to resurrect. His voice failed him, but he stepped up to her, knelt down, and kissed her hands, not ashamed of his tears that flowed down on them. He did not see the slightly exasperated glances that the two women exchanged, but he felt the Queen gently withdraw one of her hands and, comfortingly, lay it on his head. It's all right, she said. It's all right. It's going to be all right.